Hello, mech fans around the world, and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where you two largely inept, but prone to love co-hosts Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris, watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is episode 38, and we'll be talking about episode 38 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, The New Type Chalia Bull, in which we mostly get confused. Moe agare, and take it away.
Hello and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom. I'm your host, Chris.
Oh man, you've reversed the meme. Oh, we're just coming off of a big thing of laughter. So now that we're, like, on this side of the parenthetical, I got Chris's kid to dab, apparently, and that's all of that story you're getting.
I'm a broken man.
And it's my fault. Welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom Proper. It's episode 39. I'm the unbroken Fuzzy. You've already said your name. We're come back to us. We need to bring our energy up a little bit before immediately striking it down with a sad thing. This is episode 39.
Hello!
I wanted it a little more gradual, but okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have two modes.
You didn't have to.
I'm broken and on.
You didn't have to gas it. You could ease into the acceleration. Anyway.
That sounds fake. I'm a professional truck driver. I understand acceleration.
I don't think it. Alright. Sure. Fuck it. Why not? Yeah.
It's been a long time since we recorded. This is why this is happening.
Yes, this is. Before we get too far into it, this is episode 39 of Mobile Suit Fandom, and we're talking about episode 39 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, The New Type Chalia Bull. This episode was written by Yu Yamamoto, which I recognize at the time of this airing, it will have probably been a month or so, but at the time of this recording, he just passed away. Just wanted to point that out and call that out, because the guy wrote several of the really good, well, 11 total, of the really good episodes of Mobile Suit Gundam, and I think he wrote some of Zeta, too. I didn't look deeper. Offhand, he wrote Duel in Texas, he wrote Farewell to Side 6, and those were just off the top of my head. I didn't go seek out that image I pinned to our chat even. But the point is, wrote a bunch, no longer with us. But thank you, Yamamoto-sensei, for making part of the series that I hold very near and dear to my heart.
Thank you for, again.
He also wrote, like, the Garma arc, basically.
Oh, my son?
Yeah. Like that was him. Garma's fate and Garma's attack, I think, were the two. But yeah.
Why have you done this to me?
Yeah.
Yamamoto.
Yeah. That was him.
Anyways, yes. That sucks. Well, I don't know. How old was he?
He was pretty old. I don't think anyone was like, oh no, before his time. He was Mozart. He was old.
Yeah. He probably lived a good life, I hope. I don't know anything. I'm going to stop talking because I'm feeling real awkward now.
Anyway.
I'm going to go back to being broken.
So, Chalia Bull. Last time on Mobile Suit Gundam, Char and Sayla had a whole conversation that you can listen to that last episode of our podcast if you want to know the contents of. It was a whole thing, trust us. Also, Joaquin's ship got fucking exploded, and...
Yeah, like, off-screen.
Well, they cut away from it in a tense moment on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, that was definitely meant to be a question
It was a real sad bit because everybody realized, like, oh no, our friend.
That cool guy.
That cool dude.
Damn. War takes away the cool dudes. I'm sure he shows up in Gundam Valhalla. The one chill middle manager. The cool regional manager.
Our cool uncle.
Title card. right. White Base is also headed back to Solomon. Yeah. Title card. Apparently, at Solomon, Solomon was pretty important to Zeon for reasons that are unstated besides, trust us, it was important. It's
a mining app. Their mines, all the nukes, the particles.
It's where they mine the Minovsky particles.
Yeah.
You can only mine Minovsky particles in space.
Yeah. Spinovsky, nope.
For the record, I just rolled my eyes and shrugged as if you all would have seen that. You won't. Fun fact, audio. So
the audio medium, like all other podcasts, before and after it.
For a second, I thought you were trying to do the Skype startup sound. I know you were just inhaling, but...
I have a terrible confession.
You are the Skype startup sound.
I am Skype.
Oh no! You're an inadequate calling service that has been replaced by a lot of other better ones at this stage.
First of all, inadequate is a little harsh. Antiquated, maybe. Vintage, I prefer. But what if you want to be a dick about it, sure, inadequate, whatever.
I'm just saying... Skype's pretty mediocre.
Don't act like you don't. You mean you already have a Hotmail account, right? So you can just.
I don't.
You're there. You're in Skype. Hotmail. Everybody has a Hotmail.
Everybody has a Hotmail.
Everybody has a
Hotmail. I had to log into my Xbox account recently. It was a journey.
Yeah,
to try to figure out that shit. Also, I can't fucking find. For some reason, because I bought the games on my account so fucking long ago, they're no longer part of my account.
Oh, no.
And so, like, I own Soul Calibur 5 on the Xbox 360, but I can only, like, I can't ever delete it.
Whoops. I had to figure out mine because I bought a couple PC games that were through the Xbox store, the Windows store. Like, right. I can't remember which two right now. State of Decay and another one, the pirate one. Sea of Thieves.
That one.
And it, you have to go through your Xbox. Well, I had to sign up to my Xbox account to do it. I made that account when I was in high school, and it has lots of numbers in it. And I'm very embarrassed. I went to try to change it, and I've already used my free change. And I'm like, the fuck did I change it from?
What was worse
than this? What was worse than carbon with a zero and then three threes? Because that's half the number of the beast. Yeah. I was an edgy kid, sir. I have my edgy kid credentials in my Xbox account.
Have I ever explained to you what Fuzzy Sinowaki means?
No.
The Sinowaki is another dude's gamer tag, actually, and it's the three friends of mine. They made that account together, and then it's Cyrus, Noel, and Akira, and then Cyrus and I were hanging out and got me an Xbox Live account. Finally, so I made it just Fuzzy Sinowaki. So my name is just a monument to a friendship to three dudes I have not talked to since sixth grade.
I think my original Xbox has the same origin story, which was that I used to play Halo with my friend Jimmy, and he had a bunch of Xbox accounts on his Xbox. And one of them was just EAK with some numbers or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I would play that for forever. I thought it looked like EAK or whatever. I was like, yeah, I'll take that one. And then I think when I got my own Xbox account, I just went ahead and used that one again. And then he informed me that was just his ex-girlfriend's initials. And I was like, cool. Anyways, cool. In Gundam.
Gundam. So, yeah, Solomon was supposedly important. Shrug. But now the Feddies are using it because they took it over, because that's how war works. Yeah. They're now also preparing for a full-scale invasion of Zeon territory. Man, how the turntables in the last month.
How, so was Solomon not in Zeon territory? Like, what, so far...
My understanding, it's, like, on the edge.
Okay. It's... And so this is, like, OG Zeon. Like, they've beaten them back to their front.
Seems like it. It's definitely meant to be read right now as we've gotten to Germany, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're definitely in that stage of this theater. Yeah. Because, hey, quick reminder, Gundam is a thinly veiled retelling of World War II. Right. Pretty much plot point for plot point.
Was it halfway through when White Base stopped running? So for most of this, White Base is just running from Zeon.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, like, when they sat down in Ireland or wherever it was to get repaired, that's when they start going on the... Well, no, because they go to South America and that base gets attacked.
It's pretty on the runny, I'd say, until Jaburo. Yeah. So about
that. So just over halfway, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, half of this fucking series has been them running from fucking... Zeon, and then like the last quarter is them just like, oh wait, what if we attacked?
Let's just turn the ship around.
Let's go back into space.
Yeah, fuck it, charge. YOLO. We're getting these shots of like a ship arriving, and General Reveal has come to Solomon because that's the new forward operating base, I guess. And then suddenly ships just start getting taken the fuck out.
Yeah, as... and I feel like people didn't panic enough at this.
I think it's because, like, shit started popping off so fast, people were just like, huh?
What?
Yeah.
What are these fancy lights?
Yeah. This, like... wild operatic song starts, and it's like a pretty spooky scene actually, as Reveal gets off the ship and shit just starts getting taken out. Radio messages the Feddies are intercepting say apparently it's something called Lala, of course,
which
us
is
being
terrifying.
Yeah. Of course, us being the savvy viewers that we are, we know this is our Lala earlier. But remember, they don't know that. That's called dramatic irony. Fun fact. I legitimately think that's a fun fact for the record, too. Like, that's the kind
you're
of.
A nerd.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a nerd, too. Sorry.
Yeah. So, everyone's kind of confused, shit's fucked, everyone's dying. Reveal cracks his neck. Like, actually, that's his... Like, the guy's like, everyone's fucking dying! And he's just like...
One second.
Like, it doesn't even have audio, it's just, like, the motion of, like, the neck stretch that generally pops your neck.
Yeah.
Are you okay, Reveal?
He's not okay.
No, he's not okay.
he's leader of the Federation forces. That dude is stressed.
No, yeah, no, you're right. We then pan space for like 30 seconds. Like, really, just repeated shots of space panning at Dutch angles. I mean, it's space, so what's a Dutch angle in space? But
it'll come up again in the latter half, but there's a lot of like, we need to save money on some of this animation. So let's... it's not a spoiler. At one point, Char and Lala are talking, and the camera just, like Lala says something, like, her mouth moves, like, she's a little further away, so it's like, the least amount of animation they can use is, like, just move her mouth a little bit, because nothing else in the scene moves.
Yeah.
And then the camera just stays behind Char when Char replies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for a it's not even, it's not like a short thing. He gives an entire, like, 5 or 6 sentence paragraph, and then Lala talks again without them ever moving the camera.
I want you to keep in mind that Lala's ship and the other villain ship of this episode, minor spoiler, the episode, the villain is the Bra Bro again, but we've met the Bra Bro before. Mm-hmm. Both of these have no moving parts. They're not...
Well, okay.
Like, okay, the little nubba-trubs pop off the Bra Bro. That's it. Otherwise, you can just draw a static image and wave it around.
Yeah. Yeah, they did not have any money for... they didn't have any money for this episode.
Hear me out. They specifically are doing that this episode, and I would be willing to bet next episode... Because we're on episode
39.
Oh, yeah, we're on episode 39, and there are 42 episodes to 43, this?
43.
Yeah. 43. Yeah, I have the distinct feeling that we're gonna save a little bit of money right before the finale, and then we...
go all out.
Then we go, we pull out all the stops for the last few. Because, the last three episodes, A Cosmic Glow, Space Fortress, Aobawakwa, and Escape, it's some
spoilers,
shit.
Jeez.
Fucking, we already know about all these things.
I know, I see them every time I go start an episode.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm just now realizing that they totally gave Lala this non-animated ship specifically so they could save a little bit of money before launching into the last three episodes.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty heavily how this reads.
Never mind, we'll get to it when we get to it.
Yeah. So, after we go through space for 30 whole goddamn seconds, we see Char in the Gelgoog next to this big green ship. This green ship is the Elmeth. As we mentioned, it has no moving parts. It kind of just looks like...
A Corvette. Like a space Corvette. Like a Star Wars Corvette, not a Corvette.
I thought it looked kind of like a armadillo almost, but angrier. Or like
an angridillo.
Or like a Zoc went Super Saiyan and then got its arms and legs cut off.
In that order.
Yeah.
They're just Super Saiyan arms and legs floating in space somewhere.
Well, like, it's just a little bit spikier, but it looks a lot like the Zoc to me. Or, like, just the front part of the Zoc, if you, like, made the weird nose armor piece that's in its stomach longer and further out to kind of...
Yeah,
look up a fucking picture, goddammit!
You guys know how to fucking do this, come on.
So, inside, Lala looks goofy as shit because the new type helmet is different than the regular normal suit helmet.
And also bad.
And by that I mean fucking huge for some reason. So bad. Yeah, bad. It's bad.
Bad.
Why? Why, guys?
It's... She looks very dumb.
Yeah.
I think...
Why? So... apparently she's using her new type powers to snipe people, and I'll be honest, in these shots, it's pretty unclear whether she is shooting a gun or, just exploding things with her mind. She is shooting a gun, and I can confirm it for you. She is definitely shooting a gun. It's just shot or animated kind of weird, so it's not super clear.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So she's just shooting a gun from a million miles away.
Yeah, apparently she's using her psychic mind powers to be a very good sniper. It seems like a waste of psychic powers, honestly.
Well, you say that, but she's fucking...
She's getting shit done.
Yeah, and no one, like, shock and awe, like, no one sees anything coming.
What I don't get is, why did this require a new type? Why not just, I don't know, get a really big fucking sniper rifle? Which, actually,
I assume if they could, quick, they would?
Well, okay, because here's the thing. When you rewatch this with the context of other Gundams, this makes even less sense. Because they have long-range sniper rifles in UC Gundam during the One-Year War. Mm. You can check them out in Mobile Suit Gundam Thunderbolt. They totally would have done... And Zeon had them! Zeon are the one with the fucking sniper rifles!
I think this is a continuity error.
Yeah, I know it's a continuity error, and it's hard to judge a 30-year-old series on the media that just came out for it, but also... Why is psychics the answer and not a sniper rifle? That still doesn't answer the question.
Because Manofsky part.
Fuck you. So, we cut to White Base, and Bright notices shit is exploding in the distance.
Yeah.
Shocking, because Bright does in fact have eyes. Apparently, they can't figure out what the fuck is causing said explosions, and Mirai is getting a really weird feeling. Bright agrees with this feeling and cites this oppressive negativity surrounding Solomon.
There's a lot of feng shui shit going on in this one.
Yeah, so this episode does a lot of this psychic bullshit. We're about to get into some real psychic bullshit, too. But, like, holy fuck. But the... We're starting to learn more rules about new types. It seems the really powerful ones just kind of put off energy all the time.
Yeah.
And
just out in the world, like a weird toxic factory of psychicness.
And so new types can feel other new types.
Yeah.
But other people can still feel new types.
They're less aware of what it is.
Yeah. And Lala using... We'll get into what the Psycom is in a second. But the Psycomu system that she's using is also making the whole gestalt field of new typiness... real bad vibes. And also way bigger.
Yeah.
Shit's real funkadelic, and we'll get more into it, really just as Gundam goes on, because holy fuck. So, Mirai gets this weird vibe, Bright agrees, and then Fra gets orders that they gotta go to level 1 battle stations. Everyone starts doing that. Kai complains. Hayato, I'm still not sure if he actually is okay or if he shanghais the kids into getting him his normal suit and out of sick bay, because he keeps moaning and groaning whenever he gets up. So
yeah,
I don't know.
He's obviously still injured.
Yeah, but he is very insistent about being okay. Yeah, Sayla and Bright also share some choice words, mostly Sayla being like, I'm fine, and Bright being, sounds fake, but okay, have
sure,
a good
whatever,
sortie.
Sayla.
Everyone has their launch sequence. Sayla proceeds to have a good think on her own, mostly lamenting the same thing we already have covered of, oh no, my brother's a bad guy now.
Yeah, and I'm sad about it.
Which, fair thing to be sad
yeah,
about.
Yeah, no, it's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as protagonists go, Sayla's not bad. Like,
no, and I was Sayla's... actually...
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking about this. Man, I really want more Sayla content.
Yeah. Sayla's a better protagonist. I get that, like, Amuro's the, like, underdog, like, who was it? Or whatever. But, and Sayla's like, well, I guess no, because she wasn't, like, born into the actual privilege, was she? Because she was in hiding.
I mean, from yeah, a young, she, young was, age. She was four.
So yeah, you know what? Sayla's just a better protagonist than Amuro. Like, we should have followed Sayla for this show.
Honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, if they made Sayla the more powerful new type here, right? Like, yeah. If they just one-to-one replaced Sayla and Amuro's functions within the military of this show, and then gave her all the powers, fucking, you've got the superpower sister with the evil brother,
yeah.
The reclaimed throne storyline, yeah. The fucking... there's a lot of cash shit.
Yeah,
it would
there's a lot of shit in that.
That's a very different show, I'll admit.
And we could still have Amuro. Like, replace Amuro with Sayla, and Amuro's, like, the best pilot in this G-Arm or whatever. That's still amazing, because he started out as an engineer kid on... Like, we could have all the same beats with him.
Yeah, you really could. Still really weird to me that in the novelization they sleep together.
Yeah.
Yeah. It still weirds me out every time, and I keep thinking about it, too. And I'm just like, why?
It's strange. It's a very strange situation.
Like, there's a way you... Maybe it's written better in the book, because you just have more room to let that breathe, but... Fucking what? Anyway.
Back to this.
The most they have in common is they share a G-armor.
Yeah, a Garmer.
A Garmer. A Garma?
No. They could share Garma, though. That would be hot. What?
What? You're right.
Okay.
I had to think about it, so... I have a visual mind, so we...
I've lost where I am in the thing. Oh, we're Sailor's on her own.
Right. Who fucking knows at this stage? We're just a very horny podcast.
It's fine.
We nominally talk about giant robots, and instead we talk about Degwin Zabi's monster Dong for way too long.
Yep.
He said, but continuing not as long as the monster Dong. Not as long as the monster Dong. So,
Amuro has a weird, like, fugue state. Not fugue state, that's a little unfair.
Well, real quick before he gets into the fugue state. So Sayla has those thinks on her own before going Aru and getting a new type flash before another thing gets blown to fuck. We cut over to Amuro, who is like, okay, that thing got blown to fuck. I'm going to try to do some sensing. And so he enters make the screen blue mode, and I don't know what the fuck this is, if it's like new type battle meditation or what.
Weird.
It's weird, but he does that to himself. We stay like close in on his face for like a really long time.
Again, saving some money.
Maybe. Well, this whole scene's really fucking weird. So, he then opens his eyes and is like, I hear something. And you cut to outside the Gundam, where the Gundam is floating in space, but space is red instead of black now?
Yep. Blood, Fuzzy, blood.
It really is blood red, and then all the stars are white, but it's really weird nonetheless.
Welcome to my new album, Blood Space.
So there, and he sees this weird undulating And he sees this weird undulating yellow orb in, like, the distance. And we just kind of stay on this shot for a little too long.
Yeah.
Before he then goes into this weird fugue state of doing what I can only describe as that thing from 2001 A Space Odyssey. If you've seen 2001 A Space Odyssey, you know exactly which the thing I'm talking about. But for those of you that haven't, imagine a bunch of psychedelic bullshit coming at you and going past you, like you're diving through a pool of psychedelic bullshit with your eyes wide open.
Like you are the person with toothpicks holding their eyes open.
Yeah.
Going into hyperspace, but it's psychedelic bullshit.
Yeah. It culminates in a shot of Lala in a white void where her dress, like, expands into this weird ocean that she's looks kind of like she's having trouble staying afloat in before it shrinks back and then does it again and then cuts back to the psychedelic bullshit before Amuro suddenly opens his eyes and is like, got him!
So, what's happened here is the art and showrunner department area, all of those people have switched. They used to have to be on a fuckload of cocaine to get the shit churned out in time. They've gotten off cocaine, which is why they don't animate so much anymore. They don't have time. they're not, that's why they don't do the thing anymore. Yeah. But they are taking a lot of acid.
I don't know what's up with this, man.
That's what's happened here.
Like, it's so exactly the thing from 2001 A Space Odyssey that I'm, like, heavily side-eyeing whoever made this particular creative choice. On making this vision look this way.
What if we Space Odyssey this? What do you mean Space? Yeah, just Space Odyssey this.
Just Space. Like,
okay, Tomino, we save money anyways.
Tomino, what was the day you watched 2001 A Space Odyssey? Somehow this makes Amuro understand where they are. We cut over to Lala, who seems to be getting a bit tired. Char is worried about her quite a bit, it seems. They've been going real heavy lately in making it seem like Char is legitimately worried about Lala.
Yeah.
Despite speaking very strangely plainly to her a lot of the time, and definitely, like, leaning on the I am your superior officer element sometimes.
Yeah, he has a weird, like, treating her like a little sister and also a superior officer, or an underling at the same time.
I know what you meant.
It's a strange, because he doesn't really change inflection or anything. So
no,
it's like
very deadpan.
Yeah. are we brother Char or are we boss Char? What's happening?
Yeah.
Lala doesn't seem to mind. She seems to get what's going on. She seems pretty happy with everything he says to her, actually.
Yeah.
Until the end of this episode.
There are a couple of times where she seems to have a different reaction, but she always seems to react. She never fails to understand what Char means, but also, to be fair, she can read his fucking mind.
Yeah.
So, Lala's getting tired, and Char's like, alright, let's head back. Amuro suddenly stops somewhere in the middle of space. It's not entirely clear if it's near where they were or what. But he says he can no longer hear the call that was leading him to Lala.
Yeah.
We're learning more rules.
Yeah.
We also get a weird long panning shot of space that just has one GM stuck in the middle, and it...
Yeah!
Yeah, that's it.
Yes!
That's all I have.
Sorry. So behind the scenes, I watched half of this episode like 2 weeks ago, and the second half today. And so that I had forgotten about that. And I have a very vivid memory of what it looked like now.
It's just kind of, and it's like,
hi.
It's like hi, almost I'm exactly Jim. In the middle of the shot too.
Yeah.
So.
Hi.
I really want to see the full full panorama, because I'm sure it's a really nice panorama. We panned over the whole fucking thing, but there's just a GM in the middle.
I imagine it was like someone's like, let's make believe this is a real life show instead of an animated series, and it's definitely like, we took the shot, it went perfectly, but then one fucking extra is just
in the middle.
Like, fuck it, we don't have time to reach you. We lost the sun.
God, what? I bet we'll just reuse this shot, and there's a reason later why there's a GM in the middle.
Yeah, we're gonna see this exact same thing again if the GM explodes.
Yeah. So, we cut suddenly to 7, several hours earlier, where Space Hitler Geerin, Zabi, in case you forgot, is meeting with one Lieutenant Chalia Bull. Lieutenant Bull looks like something.
Yeah, can we just say real quick, not at all what I thought Chalia Bull would look like.
No, not at all. Gundam names strike again.
Yeah, in my mind, Chalia Bull was the Bull part was a nickname? Uh-huh. Or I think the whole thing, in my head, the whole thing was a nickname. Like, he's the Bull of Chalia, or what, like Chalia uh-huh. Place or something. So he's the Chalia Bull. And I imagine him as a very large Indian man for some reason.
Interesting. I'm not gonna lie. Based on name alone, I was imagining a, like, including heels, 7-foot-tall blonde woman in a cowboy hat.
I'm into both of these.
But that's what Chalia Bull came for me. Like, I was anticipating a 90s Texan, like, stereotype.
Yeah. But instead we got Granddad.
Instead we got a dude with mutton chops.
Yeah, he definitely has a very nice 401k.
Like, this just looks like a respectable gentleman.
Yeah, he probably, like, you know, owns his house.
It's paid off.
It's paid off. He's got 2 kids in college.
And they got some scholarships, but he's helping them with the rest.
Yeah, and he is looking forward to retiring in 3 years.
Yeah. We've developed more sympathy for Chalia Bull in this 20 seconds than the show does. Yeah,
they did not try at all. No. They don't even have a cursory, like, they don't even give him the fucking Slager Law treatment of, like, have someone kiss him.
Yeah, like, all we know is he's been to Jupiter.
Yep.
And now he's back.
Granted, I think that he's, like, you and I both like our old man mech pilots.
Yes.
Like, Rumba's like 45 or whatever, but for this show, he's old as fuck.
Yes.
So I was really into this, the idea of this, like, oh, it's an older man who happens to be a new type. Also, it changed what I thought about new... Spoiler alert, he's a new type. It changed, like, I thought new types were...
It's literally the title of the episode, Chris.
I guess, you're right. They spoiled it. I keep forgetting that they spoil themselves all the fucking time. Anyways... I thought that all new types were younger in their early 20s because it's a new thing.
Yes.
But apparently it's I'm getting the impression now that it's more of like a mutation caused by these Monofsky particles rather than something you're born with, like a next step in human evolution or whatever.
I'm fairly certain that new typeism is like a random mutation that happens from prolonged living in space.
Yeah.
Like, that seems to be what they go with as the explanation. Yeah. Which, alright, fair enough.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Why the fuck not? We haven't had anybody live in space for a long period of time. Who knows?
So, Girin has called Chaliabul in and begins this conversation with...
Excuse you, Mr. Chaliabul.
Lieutenant Chaliabul.
Okay, fine, whatever.
He is a lieutenant.
I guess, yes, you're right, I know. That's why I can't argue if you're not going with my fucking bit.
I fucking...
Continue, Fuzzy!
I don't... Listen, okay, so Space Hitler wants to stop fighting the space war, because space war is space tiring.
Yeah.
Girin tells Chalia that he basically threw him to Jupiter because they thought that might turn him into a new type, and they've been collecting data on him, and the results are in, yes, definitely a new type.
Congratulations, you were a successful Nazi scheme.
A little bit. Chaliabul also is like, cool. Hold on, no, I'm just like a little fast. Like,
yeah.
I got good reflexes. I don't know if I'm any psychic bullshit. And Garen's like, no, you don't understand. Look on that table to your right. There is an entire report on why you have psychic bullshit.
You caught it. You caught the psychic bullshit.
You got it, son. Also, this scene is shot, like, recorded really weird, and Girin feels uncomfortably close the entire time.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, hello, how's it going? I'm right here.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
At least in Japanese, he's very uncomfortably close. also, Chaliabul's voice actor in the Japanese feels even more middle managey than Bright, and I'm shocked and appalled.
Yeah, I don't think in the English he was especially middle managey, but he did fit the it was a very appropriate voice for like a respectable
for that guy.
Gentleman. Yeah.
So Girin wants Chalia to work under Caecilia, a fact Chalia states out loud before Girin does.
Yeah.
Girin proceeds to be smug about this. We learn Caecilia's been making immobile armor specifically for people with new type powers.
Yeah.
We know it's probably the Elmeth, but we also, it could be the Bra-Bro. It's the Bra-Bro. At this stage, I had just forgotten it existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did we see it last?
Like 4 or 5 episodes ago.
Yeah, but what was happening? Who was
he? Oh, some schmucks. And I think Dr. Flanagan.
Right.
Yeah, and then Amuro kind of fought it, and then, like, the
he
middle
ran
part.
Away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Alright, I remember now.
Yep, that's the last time we saw the Bra-Bro, so you'll understand why I totally forgot it existed.
Yeah, and will again very shortly.
Yep, so Chalia says, you know, sir, yes, sir, because he's a soldier, and turns around, starts heading out before Girin goes, do you know why I'm sending you to my sister? Chalia attempts to read his mind, and can't, so he gives up. Girin proceeds to gloat. And goes, be careful about reading people's minds. It could lead to your downfall someday. And then,
yeah, he seemed to have liked this idea. Like, yes, if you read my mind, I'll have you killed.
That's not the way I took it. The way I took it was more just reading people's minds wantonly will put you in a weird spot no matter what you do with it.
Maybe it was I read it wrong, or it was a dub sub issue. Because maybe. I definitely got the impression of he was like, "Ha ha, don't read my mind."
No, maybe. Girin proceeds to then send Chalia away, asking him to reflect on that question. We proceed to immediately cut to Caecilia, who, as Chalia is arriving.
And, by the way, she's just amazing. I love her design.
Yeah, it's still a really good design.
she's somehow more than Char. Like,
which is really just the most impressive part.
Yeah. And she's not like, it's not over the top or anything. Technically, I don't even think she, yes, you know, she does have the helmet. But I guess it's the fact that she's wearing a full bodysuit, whereas he's just wearing a red uniform with a helmet and face mask.
Yeah. I am a big fan of the little ninja mask thing.
Yeah.
I do wonder if it would be better if it were, like, a mask type of situation. Or if
only if it's one of those, like, Oni masks with the big snarl on it.
That's almost exactly what I was thinking, because their helmets are already pretty like, samurai with the numbers filed off.
Yeah.
So I could totally see Zeon coming up with, like, their own Zeon-y version of that.
Yeah.
Fuck, that looks sick as shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh wait, I'm not a visual artist. I can't do anything with it. I can't do anything with this train of thought right now.
Whoops.
At least not yet. Practice, kids, and you can do anything. Don't Except practice
fly.
Meth.
Don't try to fly. Oh, do not practice meth. Okay. That's way more important than the joke I was about to make. Do not practice meth. Meth is very bad. You will never get good at it.
Yeah, that is true. So Caecilia watches Chalia arrive. Apparently he is to be in the Brabo, as expected. Also, apparently all new type helmets are just stupid. Chalia arrives and is stuck in the Brabo, before which Caecilia weirdly threatens Char via, if Chalia is stronger than Lala, he gets the Elmeth. I don't really know why this dynamic exists as the way it does.
I got the impression Caecilia does not trust Char.
Well, yeah. That's for sure.
She knows that Lala is Char's charge project
ward
friend? Ward's a better word. And if like she's putting up with it because Lala is undeniably the best new type they have.
Mm-hmm.
But she would much rather have someone more loyal to her.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably entirely accurate, and you probably got in one.
I have surpassed the master.
You're paying attention.
Please don't leave. Come back.
So, yeah, the Brabo not launches, and we cut to commercial.
Cha! So, we have a review and a couple of chows. Weebinator at Jeff Margera on Twitter. And this is a you question because I have no fucking idea. What do you think about the Thunderbolt OVA so far?
I haven't finished them. I only seen the first one. It's fucking, look, man, it's jazz and giant robots.
Sounds pretty good.
Okay, something I've said before is I don't care about spoilers, so I will often look up, like, climactic fights with no context.
Yeah.
I have seen the climactic fight of Thunderbolt. Holy fuck, yeah. of Thunderbolt Season 1. Yeah. Have I described the concept of Thunderbolt to you, Chris?
I'm sure you have, but I'm a fucking garbage human.
There's a colony that got fucked up, and now the region of space it's in is filled with asteroids and debris that just have lightning sometimes arc across it because shit's going haywire. Cool. And inside, there's a contingent of Fedi forces trying to keep it safe and develop some stuff, and a contingent of Zeon ghost soldiers of people who should have died in combat, but instead were taken and given prosthetics and put it back to work in mobile suits, and they're like an elite sniper crew at first. It's sick as fuck, though.
I'm just gonna say, that's the coolest fucking thing I've ever heard.
I wouldn't begrudge you if you went off and watched this one, because also it's got
I'm committed.
The Fedi pilot listens to jazz the entire time he's piloting, and Hell yeah.
That feels very Cowboy Bebop, which you know I'm into.
It's pretty even the art style leans that way a little bit, which is pretty neat. There's also a scene you get where it's from a Zaku's perspective as the Fetty pilot goes to work. Yeah. And it's basically what it's like being, you know, a Fetty pilot, or being a regular Mook Zaku when, like, Amuro comes on the field. It's terrifying, because it's all in first person.
Yeah.
Good shit.
Yeah, that's very good. I can't wait to watch it in 2056. The other shot is from the Asian Majin, or at Gunpla V. So I get the normal question we get if we're going to watch 8th MS team or go straight to Zeta. We're going straight to Zeta.
Yeah.
And then this one I don't get. Are we planning to watch Gundam San as well?
Gundam San?
It's Gundam S-A-N. I don't know.
S-A...
You should definitely start picking these, because I don't know if it's a question understand because it's a Gundam thing, or if it's a question I don't understand because I don't understand.
Oh wait, Gundam Song, is that the chibi one?
I don't know.
I think, yeah, it is. This is one of the chibi ones. I didn't know this existed. Oh, yeah, it's a 4-coma, don't worry about it. Yes, we're gonna watch it. If it's animated, we'll watch it. It's on the list.
From what I understand, we're going. It's Fuzzy and I will be geriatric motherfuckers because we're watching every single one of these.
Yes, the goal is watch every single piece of audiovisual. That is the thing.
Yeah,
audiovisual medium of Gundam. Watch every piece they've released in release order, and talk about it. That's the shtick.
Yep. And
which does mean G-Savior, for the record. We are going to watch G-Savior.
What's G-Savior? And why is it G-Savior's especially
the American live action one?
Oh no.
Oh yeah, baby.
Oh no.
Oh okay. Yeah.
So I don't know if we said that. Actually, I might do two reviews, because I don't know if we said this one or the other one by Area 8866, who said, great show, 5 stars. Yeah, thank you very much, Area 8866.
Thank you.
The
other one is by Neo Wing.
Yeah.
It's 5 stars, and it says, this podcast stabbed me in the heart just like Fuzzy stabbed that box on the coat hook, brutally and with love.
So,
which I really appreciate this. I really appreciate this comment.
Yeah.
This is really funny, and I love this. Fuck you.
So when I read it, I nearly broke a finger trying to copy and paste it to throw it at Fuzzy. Like, ha ha!
Oh my god.
You remember when you opened up and shared an embarrassing story with the fans?
This is what I wanted, but also, as the first one to come at me, Neo Wing, I'm sorry, but fuck you. I have to give a resounding, deep and personal from my heart, fuck you.
I would like
but that was very review. Good, thank you for your review.
I believe that's everything. We don't have any more emails. Again, that's mobilesuitfandom@gmail.com. If you have any more longer form questions. I really like doing these shots. So if you have any questions you'd like read in this that are shorter or fun, just tweet them with the hashtag CHYA, CHYA, and we will get to them. CHYA!
We come back to Char talking to the doctor about why Lala gets tired. That was so fucking smooth, and I couldn't keep it going because I was too impressed with us being professional for once. So
I had to fuck it up.
Yeah. So Lala's been getting tired in the Elmeth. We learn, apparently, the new type waves have feedback sometimes.
When they're used through machines?
Yeah.
Or something?
Particularly, it's because she's all hooked into this thing called the Psy-Commu system. The Psy-Comm system is fucking unexplained bullshit, mostly. It's a bunch of pseudoscience that I can sum up for you as the following.
What? Hold on.
What?
You said pseudoscience.
Fuck!
Is it just a fat, like, this soft fabric science? Was it? Is that what this is?
When I was younger, I never heard it said out loud, I only read it. And in my head, when I asked my dad, how do I pronounce this word the first time? He said the P was silent. And when I looked at it, I read it as suede. So I've been saying pseudoscience forever.
I can't, I really wish I could remember ones that, just so you're not, left out in the lurch here, I had the same thing with the word stifled. I had only read it for the longest time.
Stifled.
And I thought it was stifled. You stifle it. You stifle a sneeze. You stifle a cough. You stifle your emotions.
Yeah.
Fast forward to 8th grade English class.
Oh no.
Where I actually argue with my English teacher about the pronunciation of the word
stifle.
Stifle.
Oh, you sweet summer child.
Words are hard, everybody. Words
are hard, everybody. And yet here we are doing them. For other people's entertainment. Who led us? Who permitted us? I don't know.
Point is,
the Psy-Comm system is a bunch of pseudoscience bullshit that's new type power go in, more powerful Gundam come out.
Yeah.
That's it. I've done the whole thing for you. It also lets you control, like, remote drones from far away, and the better you get at it, the more drones you can control. We'll see that come back later in this series and every other UC series.
So that makes a lot more sense to me now, because I watched a few episodes of Unicorn before we started this podcast.
Yeah, funnels will be real confusing for you if you did not know about them ahead of time.
So there was this one thing that just used a shitload of small things, and I was like, when the fuck did this happen?
What the fuck is? For the record, those mostly come in Char's counter. I know they're in Char's counterattack. I know that's where they got real big. I don't know if they have much of it in Zeta or Double Zeta, because as we know, I've never seen it.
Does this episode not count?
They do. They absolutely do in this episode, but
I don't think they explicitly say that you have to be new type to use those things.
Yeah, the funnels as we know them, they're called funnels. Those little
also,
things
these,
you saw.
These are still
around.
Attached by tethers.
Yes. The later ones become wireless beam super things. They're real cool. And my girl, the Sazabi, has six of them. God, I love that suit. Anyway, I will just think about the Sazabi for 30 minutes. So, I will try. Char and Lala share some words, including, hey, if you exert yourself too much, you'll fucking die. Lala seems more concerned with Chalia not having Char's best interests at heart.
Which is a weird, I don't know about in the Japanese, but in English is a very weird scene.
It's a weird disjointed scene in the Japanese, too.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't quite flow, and it seems like they're having, like, two different conversations.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't know what the fuck spoiler alert, Charlie's not going to be around to be much of a problem.
Yeah.
In this, but Lala, I don't know if Lala's just jealous listening to the new type.
I'm because unsure. Because
she's just like, I don't like him.
You could easily read it that way. They do also pretty quickly get weirdly tense the moment they meet, too.
Yeah, because they have, like, weird eye lasers at each other.
Yeah. The show, at this stage, decides that your life is forfeit and proceeds to blast two very loud, sudden trumpet notes right into your fucking ears, terrifying you and raising your heart rate a solid 40 beats per minute, if you were to have such a measuring device that would edify you of such things. Seriously, what the fuck, guys? Like, this scene is a weird and disjointed little thing, and it gets super quiet, and then suddenly... I shit myself. I like myself.
That you've now have done that to Heartless.
I like to think that I was yelling upwards, and I'm pretty sure you're gonna turn it down.
I'm not. They got... It's gonna come in full force.
Well... turn it down a little. Okay.
Alright, fine.
Just a bit. Trust me.
It goes through the compressor, it'll be fine.
Boy, I've seen my waveforms through the compressor. There's only so much it'll do. I know how hard it is to edit this voice. Fuck, I need to do that. I know.
Every episode's like you. Oh, shit.
It's life's hard.
Life's fucking hard.
So we cut to Chalia arriving with Lieutenant Simus, not Samus, despite it being spelled very similarly.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Simus and he are apparently the bra-bro pair. Also, apparently they meant to have Lala in a uniform at some point, and... Yeah. Char expressly requested one, and I'm not sure if it's bullshit and he's lying, or if he actually is, like, I can't believe she hasn't been in a uniform this long, I'm so mad.
Yeah, he says we can't, in the English he is very deadpan, as always, so
yeah.
It's hard, like, he doesn't actually seem upset about it, whereas, like, because we have heard him upset, he didn't seem very...
That is true.
He did say, like, I know we can't have her walking around in flowing garments for much longer. And I'm like, what the fuck does that, what the amount of time have to do with it? Like, the damage is done. Are you afraid she's gonna get sucked into a fucking turbine? Like, she's supposed to be.
Gone. Gone in 60 seconds.
Just out. No capes.
No capes. Chalia proceeds to Spidey sense at Lala, and they recognize that each one another are new types, I guess. Also, apparently Chalia can only, like... Char expressly asks, like, alright, do me. And Chalia's response is really, like... blasé and very indicative of Char is a new type. Barely. Chalia proceeds to Spidey sense Lala and game recognize game, I guess.
Yeah.
It's
like a Highlander. Quickening is when you kill them.
I don't fucking know. I've never actually seen Highlander.
There can be only one, Fuzzy.
I know about Highlander. I just don't know the details. I know it's like, okay, there can only be one and you get more powerful if you kill the other guys, and it's kind of like Jet Li's the one. I've seen Jet Li's the one.
You've seen Highlander. It's fine.
Well, okay, cool.
But anyways, yeah, they sense each other.
And yeah, Chalia doesn't detect a lot of new type juice in Char. He says he wishes...
New type juice is the grossest thing.
Yeah. Chalia also says a weird thing about wanting there to be peace for all new types. Char responds, by that, can you also mean peace for all people? To which Charlie responds, of course. And Char gets a weird look in his eye that I think I just saw the moment he became a spacist. Like, okay. I think that was it.
So, that whole scene was very... I don't know what the fuck was that. Like, I was hoping... Like, while I was watching that, I was like, I'm gonna have to get Fuzzy to explain this to me.
I'll be honest, it's just really fucking weird.
It's so fucking weird. I didn't understand what the fuck is going on. Charlie Bull just found out he's a goddamn new type. What the fuck is going on?
Charlie's turn between his meeting with Giran and now indicates to me he was totally bullshitting and was absolutely aware he was a new type and has been practicing.
Okay.
Because he seems to have an awareness of his powers. On top of that, Chalia appears to... I don't fucking know, but I've started thinking about this new type shit a lot in the last few hours. Since learning he was one, I guess.
Yeah.
But I also just keep thinking about this dunk on Char, on how he's not this full-powered new type, and Chalia tells him to be more broad-minded.
Yeah.
And I almost want to, like, go back in and run through that script to, like, try to see exactly what was written in Japanese, just to be sure. Because I have to wonder if, like, they meant enlightenment almost, or what? Because... Or, like, open-minded? I don't fucking know.
I think broad-minded is a pretty evocative one.
Yeah, it's... To me, basically, Chalia and Lala are telling Char to get good and achieve enlightenment, you fucking scrub. Open your mind. Dumbass.
Fucking...
Dumbass.
Piece of shit.
Just Lala and Charlie are kicking Char.
just beating the shit.
Just beating him up, shoving him just in a locker.
Office spacing him in a desert.
Yeah. Take him back to Texas, kick the shit out of him. We cut briefly to White Base for some reason, and everyone's trying to figure out why the Gundam is overheating. We immediately cut back to the Bra-Bro launching. Char tells Lala he won't let her launch until the Elmeth is tuned to her properly and won't have the weird feedback.
Yeah.
We cut back again. I just realized how many. To Bright knocking on Sayla's door. Sayla lets him in, and Bright wonders why she asked him here. Bright proceeds to pull a gun and ask if Marcellus Wallace looks like a bitch. Because between Sayla and Bright is a suitcase full of gold.
It's very... I don't know how your brain got to that, because it's not the...
It's just a light that opens up when...
I know,
it's in the just... briefcase.
I don't know how you're like, this is Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Fuck you, I don't know.
No, 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 that wasn't an insult. I'm just...
I don't know.
I'm confused. Because it's very good. I just don't know how. Like, my brain would have never made the jump from this to Pulp Fiction. And I'm glad yours did. Because let's be honest, Mobile Suit Gundam could do with some fucking Samuel L. Jackson.
Now I just want Sayla to call Bright a bitch.
Call me a bitch one more time.
Say what? One more time.
No, that was it, yes.
So, Sayla asked him here to basically clear up any misunderstandings he has. She just spills the beans and is like, Char's my older brother.
Yep.
He's like, She tells Bright that her brother Cassville is in... She uses slightly more fanciful language, but in no uncertain terms, is a disgrace to her father's name and ideals. She also asks Bright to take all of this gold and pass it out evenly amongst the crew.
Yep. which is dope. They could use a fucking bonus. They've been working real goddamn hard.
Yeah. So, Sayla just gave the whole crew the payday of a lifetime. Like, that was a briefcase full of gold.
Yeah.
And there are maybe 40 people on this ship right now.
Yeah. I mean, not counting the people in the ammo mines and the shield mines. They don't, they're not real.
They don't get gold.
Yeah,
yeah, they're troglodytes now.
Yeah, they live in the mines. Yeah. They are the mines.
I'm not gonna lie. I really hope that, because like I know a little bit of about Zeta. I really hope that we come back to this Nazi war gold.
Yeah, and they're just like all the members are older and rich.
I really want to know.
Kai has definitely lost all his.
Blue
Hayato owns a dojo.
The best part is, I actually know what happens to those two. Yeah. It's good. Okay. Bright side. Or at least what I know is. I don't know everything. So, we... Yeah, so she's clears this up for him. He tries to comfort her. Like, puts a hand on hers very awkwardly, like, you're good, and she's like, just kind of clenches his fist and is like, yeah, I'm fine.
I need you. I'm still a goddamn mess.
If they had more animation budget, I feel like they would have had Bright just give her like a couple of pats on the shoulder of just like,
yeah,
you got this, buddy.
It's very stiff and awkward.
Yeah, you know, like Bright.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah. The other weird in-character thing he does is makes it very clear that she is choosing the harder path. Yeah. And that her life will more than likely be full of suffering for the choice she is currently making. And yeah. She's like, yeah, I know, and I'm fine with that. And he's like, aw, fucking K.
Glad to have you.
Glad to fucking have you.
You dumb nerd.
You absolute fucking moron. So
I get the feeling like the middle manager at Bright is just like, I would take the money if I could run. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Retire to the Poconos.
But at the same time, one thing I do like is how neither of us for a second think Bright is about to run away with the money.
Oh god, no. Bright's a nerd.
Bright. Like, but also, like, a man of character at the very least.
Yeah.
Like,
he doesn't
given,
have it in him.
Yes, he's literally been given fuck you money.
This man
is going to pass it out.
Yeah, this man had a mental breakdown because he was afraid he wasn't a good enough middle manager. Like,
yeah.
He's not gonna, he takes his shit very seriously.
He really does. I respect him for it, gotta say.
Yeah.
So, Bright gets orders to act as a bit of a decoy and sortie out kind of in a different direction. Crew does, including Hayato. Amuro proceeds to Spidey sense three machines after launching, and he can tell that it's not Lala. Chalia, meanwhile, of course, detects Amuro via the new type bullshit powers.
Yep.
They manage to find each other. Amuro manages to pull off a shot but misses, and we now see a full-strength bra bro fight. Chalia uses the cool little remotes, these proto-funnels, essentially, all over the place, making shots. Amuro is
from
in the middle of a cross.
Every direction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amuro is the center of a crossfire that Chalia can control by himself.
Yep.
I'm not gonna lie, my mind immediately went to Amuro starts freaking out, not in the same way, but a lot of similar ways to early episodes, like episode 4, just random number from the early parts, but those parts where better pilots were coming at him and he really was panicking and having to figure it out.
This is the first time he's been tested since they hit space again.
This is a true new type v new type fight, and it's actually hard.
Yep.
Chali is pretty impressed by Amuro. Yep. See, just hit my pop filter.
I'll turn this podcast around.
We're gonna do every episode, but backwards.
Now.
I can't speak. I can't do backwards. So, Chali is real impressed by Amuro. Until he gets hit by a volley from the white base crew behind him. Chali responds by blowing Kai's legs off. The gun cannon's legs, but, you know. The shock factor. Man, what if Kai just lost his legs? God. That'd be a fucking terrible.
Yeah, that'd be
horrible. Actually, I'm pretty sure the thing about... No, I've seen... Other people definitely got injured. I was trying to think, like, mobile suits are one of the few things where, at the point where your cockpit is hurt, you're usually dead.
Yeah, you're probably just gone.
You're probably already dead. But every once in a while. Oh, man, when we get to IBO.
In 2076.
Well, no, the thing about IBO is there's no beam weapons. It's all bullets and physical, like, weapons. Yeah. The hammers and swords.
Death Island match.
Oh, it's pretty fucking rough, my guy.
Oh, no.
Well, they have the animation to not just eviscerate someone, so you actually... Oh, yeah. It's messy. So, Kai's armor legs get blown off, and he... gets the fuck out of there as the intense music starts playing. It seems like, you know, the white base crew came in to help and Amuro was like, no, get the fuck out! Nah. And they did!
Yeah.
We get some pretty neat shots now of this fight happening. It's... My favorite part about this fight, actually, is they order shots so that they show Amuro moving and then... like a moment passes and then the Gundam moves. Yeah. And it's doing a really good job of showing that Amuro is now too good of a pilot for the Gundam.
Right.
He's literally too good. Yeah. And it can't keep up anymore.
Yeah, and that's why it's overheating.
Yeah. Which... is also fucking wild to me.
Yeah. What he needs is a psychic.
He really does. You'll never get
Are you okay, Fuzzy? Did you just die? What happened, Fuzzy?
Yeah, I was saying, you'll never guess what happens, but sarcastically.
Yeah.
I might have erred a little too sarcastically. So Amuro gets real worried about this.
Yeah.
Chalia, meanwhile, is impressed Amuro is dodging literally every single shot.
Yeah, from all these little laser beams. Also, I just want to say, the way they denote the Gundam overheating visibly is it shocks him.
Yes. Yeah, apparently it overheats so hard it becomes electrified.
Yeah.
Physics, I think. So,
I don't know.
Suddenly, Amuro decides that the fight is done now, and just goes into new type power mode, and just
triangulates, yeah.
Yeah. Just finds Chalia, boosts up one pump into the reactor, leaves, the Bra-Bro explodes.
Yeah, which is just another... I wish they would stop introducing new characters.
Well, like... thus is the trouble with, you know, this type of... this type of show. You can't have a... It's hard to have a war story with these consistently repeating characters, especially on your villain's side, right?
Yeah, I feel like this late in the show... I don't know. I wish they had just set the groundwork for and introduced him a few episodes ago.
I think my biggest complaint is functionally Chalia only serves two things. One, audience surrogate for new type powers.
Yeah.
And two, no, that's really it. He's an audience surrogate.
He's also
the villain of the week, I guess.
Yeah. It's so that Amuro has to fight a new type to contest him without having to kill Lala.
Yes.
Because we've already established Char can't test him anymore.
Right. Which, honestly, like, we could have, why not use Char as our audience surrogate for new type powers, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's because, well, you fucking...
I don't know.
To use Garen again.
From a story perspective, it's we're five episodes from the finale.
Yeah. Right?
We gotta stop introducing new characters.
Now, granted, they didn't know it would be the finale at the time.
Oh.
Okay, So, the one thing to do keep in mind is the end of the show was rushed, and this is something Gundam series will have a problem with pretty much until IBO, and no, that's not a joke, unfortunately.
They always just thought they were going to get another season. And they're like, oh!
Not another season so much as more. This is not universally true. There are Gundam series that are complete. Not to say 0079 is incomplete, but had all the space they needed and wanted, right?
Yeah.
Some even might have gone too long, IBO season 2. But...
No.
That said... Yeah, I don't really get why Chalia was used. I think it really was mostly to, for A, the audience surrogate, and B, get Garen on screen again, because we haven't for a while.
Hey, crazy reveal, Garen's a new type. Oh.
I doubt.
Boom.
No, that's, I don't think that's gonna be the one.
No, but I'm saying, if you want Garen,
no, just make him a new type. Just make him a new type and kill him off.
Yeah, I guess. Like, again, we've got two more zombie kids plus an adult, right?
Yep.
Oh, not adult, a parent, Degwin. So we got three zombies left and four episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on. We could have killed one this episode, is what I'm saying.
God, how does it work out? I'm trying to remember when they all die and in what order.
I hope.
Spoiler alert, no zombies make it out of this alive.
Well, yeah, they're Nazis.
They are the Hitler family.
Yeah, they all die in a bunker.
Chris, I am going to tell you this right now. Their deaths are significantly messier
than
a bunker.
I don't know. I think killing yourself in a bunker is pretty terrible.
Chris.
Alright, you're silent. Okay. Alright. I believe you, Fuzzy.
Chris, when we get to Caecilia's, I'm going to show you a set of individual frames.
Oh, it's going to be bad, isn't it?
You see, what's funny too is a lot of the people who have seen it know what I'm talking about right now.
Yeah.
It's meh. They really want you to know they die. There is no doubt.
These people are not coming back.
They are dead.
All right.
let's finish this puppy out.
I like Charlie Abul. I wish he'd been around a lot longer or not at all.
Right. I mean, shit, maybe he did something cool on the way to Jupiter? I don't fucking know. It's...
Yeah, maybe we'll get a prequel. Maybe I'll write that comic.
Look, man, Kukuru's Doan's got a manga, so... It's still wild to me that that man's art is also fantastic. Like, it's... I follow him on Twitter, and it's just a fucking pleasure to see him do Gundam. He did a one that was a fan art of a baseball team with Char Zaku 2, and it was really good. And I was just like, fuck yeah. Anyway, so Amuro's super worried about the Gundam not keeping up. Char and Lala, meanwhile, consider launching the Elmyth, but Char's too worried about Lala, and Amuro just took out another very powerful new type, so no. He also laments Chalia, stating that by no fault of his own, he was put between Girin and Caecilia, and allowing him to die honorably was the best Char could do for him. This is very weird to me.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
I read it as one of two things. One, by virtue of being a dog of the Zabbies, this man was doomed to die by Char's hand. He just expedited the process and did it in an honorable way. Or B, Caecilia and Girin are just playing political chess with one another, and this man was going to die at some point for that game either way. Char just sped up the process.
Did Char, though? What did Char do?
I believe the implication is not allowing Lala to sortie and allowing Chalia to fuck off with the Brabro and not keep him back and actually work out a plan of attack led to Chalia's death.
Yeah.
At least that's the way I see it. Char also finishes out that Lala should be more careful, because being a new type does not make you omnipotent. Being a new type just makes you a mutant. And that's his opinion on the matter.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lala's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, she's a little bit like, yo, are you good? That's a little fucked up to say.
It's not okay, Char.
Yeah, Char just...
You can't just say shit like this. Just because you have a new type friend doesn't mean you can say shit like
this. That was a good one. I like that. We briefly, before finishing out, cut over to Whitebase, who is standing around the Gundam going, shit, Amuro's too fast. We leave on that very tense note that we like to head episodes out with sometimes. And that's all she wrote on that.
Yep.
Do you have something to say?
I don't really have closing thoughts on this.
We got to everything. Which means...
Don't know if I like this episode. Okay, go.
Yeah, it's... it gets a lot of work done, and frankly, yeah, I'm impressed how much they stuff into it.
You're right. Yeah, okay. Yes, you're right.
I think the reason it's weak is because it's only 20 minutes long. You know?
Yeah, and they introduce and kill a character. I hate when they introduce and kill a character in the same fucking episode. This isn't a Monster of the Week show. We need stakes.
I mean, it is kind of a Monster of the Week show. It's kind of a monster movie. What is the mobile suit but the Monster of the Week?
All right, fine. Fuck.
Next time on Mobile Suit Gundam, bullshit psychoms, a mobile armor that dances. It's gonna be a fighty episode. It's also one heck of a showdown, and honestly, man, it sure saves a lot of money. prepare for some weird psychic BS, because next time's fight is a new type v new type, but this time they both know what they're doing. Next time on Mobile Suit Fandom, Lala's Dilemma. Will you be able to survive? Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 38 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage, or that you actually like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod, and our personal Twitters from there. Or you can email us at MobileSuitFandom@gmail.com. Also, if you're new to Gundam as a whole and really want to give it a try, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows legally for free. I believe also Gundam Build Divers recently finished up, or is in the process of finishing up. So now would be a probably pretty good time to get into it if you want some just good mindless mobile suit action. One of the characters is a goddamn ferret, or excuse me, an otter that pilots a mobile suit. It's an online avatar, but it's an otter that pilots a mobile suit. I really need you to understand that. Anyway, check it out. Until next time, mech fans, though, remember. Man, what if anyone took those mobile armors that just kind of got a one-off episode and did anything useful with them? Wouldn't that be nice? Looks at the AdZam and the rest of the ZAM project longingly.